everybody. Welcome to what will be a very interesting edition of Talking Ticks. A lot of news to go over this week. We're finally catching wind of as we're recording here on Sunday night. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. We were going to talk about LSU's loss, but I guess we can also talk about the loss of Brian Kelly. It looks like LSU's going to let him go. That's what the news is coming out now. I don't know, guys. We're talking about this the week after because it drops after we record. But LSU's ready to move on from Brian Kelly. I don't think we were expecting to talk about this perhaps tonight, but here we are. Before we do, Tommy, Daniel, normally we just kind of check in and see how you guys are doing, but obviously this news is hitting us all right between the eyes. So with all that and the LSU loss, how y'all doing?
Scott, good to be with you as always. Good to be on this podcast dealing with a big LSU loss and potentially is it an LSU gain? I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it, but it's a historic day. We've seen, this is a podcast that's seen that will eventually have seen three coaches for college football, starting with Ed Orgeron. We lived through the kind of weird firing of him with the press conference where he and Scott Woodward sat there and then they talked about how he was going to coach throughout. He was going to be interim coach, even though he was just fired. And now, we're living through another one where one of the biggest, comprehensive contracts in college football history for a coach, that pried away a coach at Notre Dame that people thought would never leave and would retire there. Now he's gone in for, not even 4 years. So it's a historic day. I hope it's a move in the right direction. I think after the performance on the field last night, you have to think that you can only go up from there. But we'll get all into it. So let's good to be with you.
Yes. Hello, guys. We're recording here Sunday evening, less than 24 hours after that rough loss to Texas A&M at home, where we got trampled in the second half, and that's led to the millions of posts on Twitter and otherwise and discussions about Brian Kelly's future at LSU, which seems like it may not be much of one, considering they have just kind of leaked, I guess, the fact that LSU plans to move on from him. And there hasn't been an official announcement yet, but all signs pointing in that direction that he will be gone pretty much immediately with a new interim and I guess a more extended coaching search to follow. Who knows how long that'll take. But yes, pretty momentous news considering this is only head coach number 5 this century for LSU. So doesn't happen too often, which I guess is a good thing. But 4 years is not the tenure that I think most people expected for Brian Kelly, unfortunately. And let's hope the next one goes a little bit longer and stronger. But here we are. So I guess it could be good, could be bad, and we'll see what the tweet storm fires up in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fallout. There'll probably be some more names to drop tomorrow. Supposedly, a lot of these, other coaching staff, like position coaches, they were told to, I guess, go ahead and clean out their offices. I don't know. You'd got to think that we'd want to hold on to certain personnel, like Frank Wilson, Corey Raymond. Yeah. Yep. Just like why not keep somebody around? The ones that the program knows are on board for whoever would come in next. I don't know. You could probably hire Tommy Moffitt back now too. That you could do like a whole like sub story on that too, but I guess we got to talk about how this all started. This was a make or break game for Brian Kelly, obviously. Tigers, there were a lot of talk this week of, what they're going to do to turn things around, to show something different. Brian Kelly said in, I think it was his radio show that, hey, we got to find something different. I think we found it. You're going to see something different Saturday. And you know what? for the first half, we did. But the second half,
saw something different.
Yeah, the second half. Oh my God, that was just the most uninspired and just embarrassing football, that we've seen. Maybe just a few times this century or this quarter century. So, I mean, it's all on BK. To be honest, last week I was mad. I'm over that. I think there's a lot of people that are still in the mad phase. I'm not anymore. I kind of feel bad for the guy. I mean, it's not like he didn't want to achieve it. He put his own money into it. He's just not getting it done. And that's why I feel bad, because it's not like he got fired and landed here because we were desperate and we're like, hope it works out. No. I don't think his job was really in danger. He left to come here because there was an opening. He wanted LSU and thought he could go to the next level and get them back to the top of the mountain. It seemed like we were on the right path that first year. He overachieved, and I don't know. It's just been kind of all downhill since. And I think the second half of this A&M game shows why. There's just, I don't know, there's nothing that the coaches can show that they were trying to win this game, or that they had any ideas of what to do to make it not look as bad. It's like, how does the first half look so good and the second half not? Like we said last week, all falls on Brian Kelly. I think what was a little upsetting is seeing him yelling at all these, like he yelled at the punter with a line drive punt. He was yelling at the special teams coach. You could see him yelling at Sloan on the headset. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where I was like, oh man, poor Brian Kelly, but he brought it on himself. I mean, there's no way you can, and it's just losing to A&M like that. I think that's also what did it this quickly, to see them doing that stupid chanting back and forth in our stadium. The LSU brass was like, no way. We can't stand for this. And yeah, I don't know, Tommy, I'll kick it off to you. I mean, you can talk about the game, but it's, it all comes back to, all roads lead to BK.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just for the listeners, I would imagine most of them watched at least probably three quarters of the game. I have no issues with you if you had to turn it off when we went down by, three touchdowns or so. I'm right there with you. It was embarrassing. We made Marcel Reed look like Lamar Jackson. Right. He even did the Lamar Jackson little like stutter step into the end zone. And made Harold. I mean, I think that the big loser from this game for LSU on the field itself is Harold Perkins. I think he looked awful. He's a tremendous athlete who can't play football. He can't play a position on the defense. He can rush off the edge and get a sack, but he can't play in coverage. He can't fill gaps. He can't play as a middle linebacker. I think that's going to be a huge issue for him moving on to the NFL. Our offensive line, terrible. This is a unit that Brian Kelly, I think 2 weeks ago, said, I've coached some of the best offensive lines ever. I've coached a number of NFL products, and this offensive line has a chance to be very, very good and elite. They were anything but elite last night. To be honest, Scott, I don't feel sorry for Brian Kelly.
It's okay.
Who I do feel sorry for, honestly, is Garrett Nussmeier. I think Garrett Nussmeier is the big loser in this whole situation. I think he's the guy who did it the right way, stayed, fifth year senior, built up and was built up for this year. And I think that this coaching staff failed him by putting the whole offense in bad positions, and not, surrounding him. We spent $18 million and we can't find five guys that can give him more than half a second. I've been out on Kelly. I think listeners will know I've been out on Kelly since the spoiled comment. But the way he pulled Nussmeier, which I see is just strictly just to embarrass him. I mean, we're not going to, doesn't matter who's in, doesn't matter how good Van Buren is in that spot. I know he threw a touchdown pass. Great. It was garbage time. The game was over. I think you do that just to embarrass Nussmeier. And I don't think he deserves that for no matter how bad he's been this year. So I think this is a watershed moment for the program. I think that Scott Woodward deserves a lot of the blame in this. He's the man who negotiated this contract. He's the man who negotiated the Jimbo Fisher contract. Very similar outcomes, and both on the field and in the form of a big buyout that the university and the donors have to put up with. I think the only difference is that A&M seems to have more resources readily available than LSU does. So I am really you cannot whiff on this next one at all. And I don't know. I'm seeing mixed things. I think I'm hoping we'll learn more tomorrow and in the coming weeks about the coaching search and you know, who we're going to go after. But I hope there are more voices in the room than just Scott Woodward who makes this decision. Because if you remember last time, we fired O, and then was it 2 weeks after, 3 weeks after that? I mean, it was very quick and there was no search. I don't think
it came out of nowhere, really.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere, and they were like, yeah, we're hiring Brian Kelly. People thought it was fake. I remember seeing it on Twitter and being like, wait, what? Brian Kelly? He's with Notre Dame. What do you mean? He's trying to go to the playoff right now. So a very weird chapter. I think people talk a lot about fit, and looking back on it, I think you can say he never did fit in. Even at our best moments with him, even when we were a 10-2 team that went to Atlanta and played Georgia for the SEC championship, it never felt like LSU football. And you know, maybe we're in this position, maybe we get this over with a little bit quicker if we don't get lucky and pick up Jaden Daniels out of the portal. You know what I mean? So I've monopolized a lot of time, Daniel.
That's all right. I'll start with the on the field product against A&M, because there's not too much to say about this. It was pretty cringeworthy game. All in all, there wasn't too many highlights that you can point to. Really, the only thing that was like kind of good, was almost shocking to say, was the running game between Harlan Berry and Caden Durham were actually not too bad. And that kind of gives the point, like, I think they let Harlan barely have one touch in the entire second half. It's like, what happens there? He was getting chunk plays, 7 to 10 yards all across the first half, and keeping us competitive. And we were competitive for the first 30 minutes. We weren't going crazy or anything, but we were winning at halftime. We had a few mistakes, but it was okay. And then you talk about halftime adjustments. We made the reverse halftime adjustments, where we came out like a deflated balloon on both sides of the ball. A&M scored on that first possession after halftime. I was like, okay, we're only down by a couple points. This can be salvageable. And then LSU immediately does the patented three and out. And then the KC Concepcion 75 yard punt return just took the wind out of the stadium. And I think everybody, both in Death Valley and at home, was like, well, we're losing. And it was all downhill from there. It was just accident after accident on the field. Our players had no effort. Our coaches were losing it, most notably Brian Kelly, turning into a red-faced tornado on the sideline. And even the commentators seemed to have lost all interest by kind of the end of the third quarter, which is understandable. So it's pretty embarrassing to see that in our primetime game at home in the much-vaunted Death Valley Saturday night with Texas A&M, just to come on the field and overpower us in that way, considering that we had never lost to them at home since they had joined the SEC however many years ago.
Had been since 1994 that we lost to them in Death Valley.
Exactly. And then to contextualize even a little bit more, this LSU team was the number three team in the country less than 6 weeks ago, which we all know was a little bit of fool's gold coming off that Clemson and Florida win. We knew like we weren't a top five team or whatever, but still, like, we were kind of riding high. It's like, okay, the playoff target is still clearly in sights. We just have to keep the ball rolling. And then we did a lot of slam dunking on the James Franklin Penn State thing, going from like a number two to fired over the span of like 2 weeks. And yet we're basically in the same situation with a little bit more extended time. And that's frustrating.
I stand by my takes on Penn State. I don't think that makes, I don't think them being bad and James Franklin, maybe, I mean, him being overrated changes that the fact, or I don't think us firing Brian Kelly changes that.
Yeah. And the way we played against A&M, all signs are pointing to no improvement in the immediate future. Like, we would probably lose every game minus Western Kentucky and maybe Arkansas. And even you're like, all right, we're going to lose Western Kentucky. But I don't think that would happen either way, even with our interim coach. But no positives here. LSU, we want to at least compete for national championships and at the very least be in the playoff conversation. That didn't happen the first 3 years here with Brian Kelly. It was a 4-team playoff. That's a pretty decent excuse. You don't want to be in the top 4 teams of the country, the first 2 years. Last year in the 12-team playoff, we had issues, and this year it's gotten even worse. So he was doing kind of less with more in terms of talent. That was his argument, that he didn't have the talent at Notre Dame, but once he comes to LSU, the resources are going to be there. And then once he gets his program underway, things are going to be awesome. The championships that he's been promising will arrive. And that's what he said when he got on campus. We're here to win national championships. We got one SEC West title, one Heisman Trophy, thanks to a magical Jaden Daniels season, and then a whole lot of kind of meme worthy moments in between. So given that kind of sad end, but time to look forward and see where the next things take us for LSU football.
Yeah. One West title, one Heisman Trophy, 5 to 7 recruits danced with on camera.
One big happy family.
It feels like a dream almost. When you look back on it, like as far as big names leaving spots that you know, like for instance. We'll get to this, and I don't think they're going to be making a decision anytime in the next week or so. So next week we have a bye week. I think we can get fully into coaching search then. We can take time to dissect the options and what we want and everything like that. But at the time, there were big coaches that were definitely on the move. Everybody knew Lincoln Riley was leaving Oklahoma. Everybody knew Billy Napier was leaving Florida, and you know, he had and people were looking at him as a potential to come. No one really expected Brian Kelly to leave Notre Dame. So as far as like pulling a big name out of nowhere, it really was. I mean, it is absolutely startling it did not work out at all.
Well, and that's what's interesting is that going to happen again, or could LSU go we still have Scott Woodward, who's piloting this ship, but I mean, look what A&M did. They went and got Mike Elko, who actually was a former coordinator for Brian Kelly, but I mean, he turned them around in no time. Look at all these other coaches, like there's Vanderbilt, who we also lost to recently, and it's like the two losses on the road by a touchdown in both, that's fine. Just like you see the product on the field, and it's just like, what are we doing? And I think that's why this game was just got so out of hand, and they started chanting fire Brian Kelly. I guess that's also why I feel bad for the guy. But I mean, where else would you show up to work, and then someone like people you don't know are like, fire Tommy Daniel, it's just like, what are you doing? You're not my boss anyway. But it's like LSU's put themselves in a precarious position because now you've got to go out and find somebody else. And I guess my concern is, are we going to be like Florida? Because remember, ever since they got rid of, I forget who it was, or maybe it's ever since Urban left, but I
Dan Mullen,
like
really.
Yeah, but it's like ever since they got rid of him, it's like they've been on a 3 or 4 year cycle with everybody else after that. And I just don't want LSU to do that. We've kind of done some leapfrog coaches since Miles left, ever since 17? 16?
16, I think. Yeah.
Okay. But we got a title in that time. So I don't know, I guess that's the big thing is Kelly, like even at O could win with talent. It's like maybe Kelly didn't have the right talent because it's like we go down the depth chart, especially with our offensive line, and like we're just way behind.
Well, you know, I think that there was a perception. I mean, I think you can pull the tape. Go back to when we hired Brian Kelly. I distinctly remember, and I don't know if I said it or y'all said it or if it was just, I know it was in the talk of the whole media landscape of LSU. The talk was, and you're coming off of an Orgeron program that had not been able that had really fallen off on the offensive line since 2019. And I remember saying like, well, that's something you're not going to have to worry about with Brian Kelly. Mm-hmm. Like he has consistently been able to develop high caliber offensive linemen from the Midwest, at Notre Dame.
Yeah. And the NFL's full of them.
They're all full. Yeah, exactly. Like at the time the NFL was full of Brian Kelly products, Notre Dame offensive linemen that never came to fruition. Will Campbell and Emory Jones would have been successful offensive linemen for any coach. Like Will Campbell was coming to LSU. I think he would have, I don't think he had it. Brian Kelly had anything to do with him coming to LSU. I don't think it hurt, but I don't think he didn't pull him in. And that's kind of the story. Like we did not pull Brian Kelly's recruiting, high school recruiting, I should say. The high school recruiting, I don't think improved. And in some ways, I think it might have slipped. Now, from the portal perspective, I mean, no one can argue we had a great portal class, especially this year. We had the number one portal class in the country, but we spent $18 million to get it. I don't know how much of that is him, but I think player development. You look at some of the players who have been with him from day one, and there's just not a lot of. I can't think of a player who went through this program and was really successful on the other side and developed properly. Harold Perkins, I think, is the case study. I mean, Harold Perkins has not developed at all.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the national championship thing, Scott, and they don't grow on trees, and the sample size is small, but the last three head coaches at LSU in the 2000s, each won a national championship in different manners. And I think it's a question of fit and kind of coaching ability. You can't really have two negatives there. Like Nick Saban and Les Miles were both not really great cultural fits. Like Nick Saban, especially kind of an outsider, but he was the mean, nasty, tough competitor. And now he's the greatest to ever do it. And that kind of started, it started before LSU, but that's where he really kind of jumped to national prominence. And then Les Miles was kind of the goofball, but he knew how to get the most out of his players, at least for most of his tenure. He knew how to recruit well. He always had like top 10 to even top 5 national recruiting classes. He kind of tailed off toward the ends of his career. Then we transitioned to O, who was a bit of the inverse, where he's the great cultural fit, Mr. LSU through and through. He's not X's and O's in the film room necessarily, but he can like get people to play their hardest. And that's what we saw. And he built an awesome team in 2019. Brian Kelly didn't have the cultural fit. And then we saw his assistants and himself kind of get exposed on the tactical game again and again. It's like, you can't have both. You can't have a team.
You can't not be a fit and not do it on the field.
Cause then you come out with, unprepared, unmotivated, and untalented players, which is what we saw to some extent across this year. And that's why, I mean, they talk about the coaches has lost the fan base. He really did towards the end, especially against this A&M game. It's like there were a few supporters left in his camp, mostly tied to the money thing. It's like, well, that we suck, but I don't want to pay the $53 million. Let's deal with him for another year or two and chop that down. But now it's like, we really can't deal with this. There's no support there.
Well, and I'm not convinced that they're going to have to pay that full amount. I think there's going to be some negotiation there and I've seen some stuff on Twitter and that I can confirm or deny, but from my own personal experience, but I think there might be some morality clause issues that could come into play, that wouldn't necessarily void his contract, but might serve as grounds for a negotiation down in the full amount that we have to pay him. But and then also in something that people have been talking about, there's mitigation in the contract that if he goes on to get another job, whether it's in media or as another coach, the amount that he's paid there is taken out from our buyouts. I mean, it's not as simple as just like, here's $53 million cash. Thanks for playing. I mean, did y'all see that yesterday was his birthday?
Yep.
It's kind of hilarious that
the bad birthday present.
Yeah. Well, I mean, bad, but then again, like, I mean, the guy's getting $53 million. Like, I know it's bad to like get fired, but I mean, I wish I could get fired for $53 million.
Sure, but I mean, you're not going to get fired in front of a whole national audience where all your family and friends can watch your misery happen, watching you yelling at the coffee boy.
I mean, like, but the thing is, I don't think he cares. Like, he has no shame.
I don't know. I feel like he's human, right? Yeah, I mean, sure, yeah, there's moments in his tenure, you know, with us or before where you're like, I don't know, is this guy, does it really affect him? But, I mean, you could definitely see it Saturday night, or last night, you could definitely see his emotions just with everyone, everything. Like, I don't know, I feel like maybe they were watching him more yesterday because it was a train wreck, but it's like we haven't seen that the rest of the season, and maybe we should have, you know, back to game one or two where he's yelling into the mic, Joe, what are you doing? You don't call that play with no timeouts left. What are we doing? You know, where was that 4 weeks ago? I think that's what it comes down to. That and, yeah, you know, calling us spoiled, or at least talking to a reporter saying he's spoiled, which, I mean, it was a legitimate question, and it's still an issue, you know, this far into the season. But I think, you know, he wasn't honest with himself. He thought everything was fine. You know, like you said, Tommy, it was embarrassing us to put Van Buren in. I don't know. It's like, why didn't that happen sooner? You know, like we didn't do anything in the third quarter. That could have happened 2 weeks ago too. You know, it's just, if Ness isn't playing great, I mean, other coaches have done it. Just do it.
Oh, I have no problem with if Van Buren is truly better and is truly gonna like make us a better team. I'm perfectly fine with it. But I think that putting him in the second to last drive of the entire game with the score the way it is, I think it has nothing to do with trying to win the game. I think it was just to embarrass him.
And he looked embarrassed. Like you could tell he was upset or something.
Well, he was startled. Yeah. I mean, if you watched it, like he's startled when he gets pulled out, he's like, wait, what?
He like spiked his helmet on the ground, on the sideline, storms off. Whit Weeks like goes to try and like console him. I was like, Whit Weeks, what are you doing? You're in street clothes over there. That was also kind of weird. I don't know if you saw him trying to like rally the linebackers.
Oh, did you see Whit Weeks go off on the defense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the thing's a mess. It starts with the top. I don't know if you, okay. So I'm just seeing, this is just breaking from a story from Bruce Feldman at The Athletic. After Woodward told, so that Woodward and Kelly met obviously this afternoon, things got very tense. After Woodward told the head coach to fire his play caller, Kelly fired back that he wanted to make other staff moves Woodward wasn't comfortable with. The situation then escalated with the head coach pushing back hard against his boss. It went bad very fast, a program source told The Athletic. So,
that's crazy though. It's right. It's like your boss is coming in saying like, hey, we've got to mix some stuff up, starting with this guy. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Nobody's touching Joe Sloan. I need him. Like, what? Really? You were yelling at him yesterday. The whole fan base and the country has seen that our offense has been putrid. Another game, we have still not scored more than 24 points. Only us and UNC, for crying out loud. Why would he be dying? Why is he dying on that hill? I don't get it.
Now, as I'm reading this, I mean, we're reacting in real time.
Right.
You know, so reports. This is a treat for the listeners, really. But does that change the way I feel about Brian Kelly? Is he actually a loyal guy? Is he sticking up for his guy? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's the character of Kelly. Like you said, the guy who's mother effing his coordinator and his staff every chance he gets on national television.
A lot of people just got tired of the excuses, really. Like, he always seemed to have an excuse for something instead of just kind of taking the accountability from the beginning and saying, yeah, like, he would say it. He'd say, we have to make some changes, but he wasn't very specific on what the changes were or how he would implement them. And the fact that we didn't change was like kind of testament to his leadership style.
Okay, hey, this is also 8:18 breaking. I don't know if y'all saw this as official statement from LSU. I'll read this if you want. Sure. LSU Athletics has made a decision to separate with football coach Brian Kelly effective immediately. Scott Woodward announced Sunday. Terms of the separation are still being negotiated. Quote, when Brian Kelly arrived 4 years ago at LSU, we had high hopes that he would lead us to multiple SEC and national championships during his time in Baton Rouge. Ultimately, the success at the level that LSU demands simply did not materialize, and I made the decision to change after last night's game. I am grateful for the ongoing consultations and support of the Board of Supervisors and Interim President Matt Lee. We wish Coach Kelly and his family the very best in his future endeavors. We will continue to negotiate his separation, and we will work toward a path better for both parties. The Tigers fell to 5-3. Okay, it is confirmed Frank Wilson will be the interim head coach. I know we had saw that on a separate report, but we hadn't heard that from LSU itself. As a proud alum and as the caretaker of our athletics programs, I will not compromise in the pursuit of excellence and we will not lower our standards, Woodward said. I continue to believe that LSU is the best football program in the country and that our head coach position is among the best, considering our investment, our ability to attract and retain talent, and our unbelievable fans, and our institutional and statewide commitment and love for LSU football. We will immediately begin a national search for a new head coach, and I'm confident in our ability to bring Baton Rouge an outstanding leader, teacher, and coach who fits our culture and community and who embraces the excellence that we demand. While there will certainly be speculation and reports on candidates in the process, together we will celebrate and welcome a new coach at the appropriate time. I urge the LSU community to continue to support the student athletes and coaches as they complete the rest of the season.
So those that are staying.
That is straight from Woody. support the coaches who remain and support the student athletes that remain. The rest of them can don't kick transfer rocks.
Thanks, corporate communications team.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know. Again, I still wonder if we're, I mean, it wasn't improving. I forget who said it earlier, but yeah, there was just no improvement over all of these weeks. And here's the difference. Shane Beamer, you know, they're like, what, three? South Carolina's like now 3-4, 3-5, I think. They were not chaining fire Beamer because his team put up a fight, almost took down Alabama. If not for a turnover late in the game, they might have. And I think that's the difference, is these other guys can get, like, they may not have the entire talent or program to make it to the and win the playoff, but they're getting their guys to play. Brian Kelly's just not getting his guys to play. So that's unfortunate. It's interesting, though, because it sounds like if he'd have done what Scott asked him, that he might still be coaching, they would just be finding new coordinators. Going back to what you said, Tommy, I don't want to look at that $50 million buyout. But, I mean, maybe if he just changes and gets some guys in there that can call plays, that'll be the difference. Not midseason, maybe, but I don't know. Do you think it was like a last-ditch effort for Scott, or was this just like, hey, you got to change coordinators, do something different? Just take the, I mean, what do you think?
I don't think even if he had fired both coordinators and purged the entire assistant staff and replacing them, I don't think that would have saved his job at the end of the day. That just seems more like a stopgap to appease people. Maybe if he had done that like 3 or 4 weeks ago, like after the Ole Miss game or something, then that might have been enough to say, like, all right, we made a change. Let's kind of limp through the rest of this season, and we'll see what happens after that. But the no change aspect and it coming to the head that it did, I think was the end all for Kelly.
You know, I think that I'm a little bit shocked is not the right word. Not shocked. I'm slightly surprised. I had heard from multiple people, good sources close to the decision makers, that the buyout is just too much. It's like, we're not doing that. Like, we're going to have we can fire all the coordinators we want. We can overturn the entire staff. We can hit the portal. We can force people out, but we're not spending 50 something million dollars on one guy and then going completely back to the drawing board. Now, I do believe, and I think I want to learn more. I just putting more context into that, to that report we saw from The Athletic. This is Matt Fortuna on Twitter. Per sources, the crux of the Scott Wilbur-Brian Kelly showdown stems to a meeting today when Kelly, when AD asked Kelly to fire Sloan. Kelly said he would then fire offensive line coach Brad Davis too, which did not go over well with Woodward. Kelly left the building. Now Governor Jeff Landry is meeting with LSU board. This was an hour ago, was meeting with board of supervisors about the futures of both the AD and the head coach. I think I find that interesting. Like, I don't know why it was so objectionable for
the AD.
For
the future of the AD.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's real.
Here's the thing though, real quick. Because I wanted to ask you guys about this too. It's like Scott Woodward's coming up because he's the one that got Jimbo to go to A&M with that big deal. And he's the one that got Brian Kelly to come to LSU. Okay. But he also brought in Kim Mulkey and Jay Johnson, and they won titles with less time than Brian Kelly. So why is this all on Scott Woodward? We needed somebody.
It's a football business, man.
Okay, like, yeah. But it's, yeah, I mean,
dollars and cents.
Kind of like all these recruits that we've had. Yeah, you can get the top quarterback to come in. Doesn't mean they're going to pan out. You know, it's like.
I know. Yeah. I'm not saying it's fair, but football makes the world go round.
Yeah, I'm not doing a pound in my fist. That is not fair. But, well, go ahead.
I was just going to say that now that it's official, where do we think the LSU job kind of conceptually ranks in terms of open positions? Like, do we jump to the top spot over Penn State, Florida, or
absolutely.
Has the way that the last two exited with Orgeron and Kelly and the kind of the middling success in the middle kind of tainted our allure a little bit?
Who in the top spots or in the country has had a title within the last 5-6 years?
I think, well, I mean, no one.
Besides
out of the available jobs. Yeah, no one. I think that this will scare some people off. Not because they don't think that LSU is a good program, but I think that there will be some coaches who will say, I can't handle that. Like,
there's a lot of pressure.
On the same way that there were coaches that, and I think this is, I've seen reports and I think this is accurate. There are coaches that turned down the Alabama job, notably Dan Lanning supposedly turned down the Alabama job. He was one of the first ones called after Saban retired. I think there will be coaches who might say, you know what? Those people are crazy.
I don't want that mess. That
they love it. They love it too much. Like, they got rid of Brian Kelly. He couldn't even hang. Like, now, and that's, I think that's okay. Like, we need somebody who's willing to come and who's just as crazy as we are. You know, it's like what the Joker said in The Dark Knight. It's like, this town deserves a better class of criminal, and I'm going to give it to them. Like, we deserve a better class of coach.
The money thing is a factor too. I don't know how much else you can rustle up for a new guy, but if we come with the Brinks truck backed up, somebody's going to answer the call.
Oh, I think we will. I don't think we make this move if we don't have the backing to make, to then do it right the next time. Does that mean we go get, I'm hoping that does not mean we pay as much as we paid for Brian Kelly.
Agreed. But,
I don't think that means that we're going to suddenly go get, like, you know, the Louisiana Tech coach and he's going to be paid $500,000 a year. Like,
I think we're on a budget,
a premier. Yeah. I think we're going to go get a premier coach. Of course, the first one that comes to mind, everyone's talking about it. If you go type in LSU right now, it's Lane Kiffin. That's obviously a name to watch. I think John Gruden is a name to watch. I think I love Dan Lanning. I don't think he leaves. I don't think he'd leave his spot at Oregon, but I think he's a name to watch. Who are some other coaches that y'all would be interested in?
There's kind of different tiers of coaches, if you could call it that. There's kind of the established winner at the college ranks, at the high level ranks, which is kind of the Dan Lanning that you're talking about, or I guess Lane Kiffin would fit there now, given what he's done with Ole Miss. And then there's a few in that tier that obviously I don't think would move, like DeBoer at Alabama or Ryan Day at Ohio State. Like, the guys are pretty much locked in, or Kirby Smart. Like, that's just kind of a pipe dream. So there's kind of that level. And then there's, I guess, the tier down. There's kind of the up and comers. Those are like kind of group of five guys, or even smaller power five schools. You could say like Matt Campbell at Iowa State. A lot of people Willie Fritz at Houston, who was formerly at Tulane. People talked about John Sumrall, Tulane's current coach, is kind of a winner. So those are options. And then you have there's the NFL route. I mean, guys like Kelvin Shepard, who's the DC for Detroit Lions, a former LSU Tiger, who's really been on the rise. People have floated his name. Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, who had kind of middling success after he left LSU with the Panthers, but he's back on the ups.
Let's not go down that road again.
And then there's, I think, the last tier, which is kind of the pie in the sky message board type of names. And these are like your Nick Sabans, Urban Myers. I don't even know who else would fit there. I guess John Gruden might be in that tier.
He's more real than a Saban or an Urban. He's talked about like being interested in coaching SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think we want Urban. Saban is not interested in coaching. He said he's trying to keep his agent away from his wife so that he can't even whisper in her ear
the money
that's being offered to him already. But he's fine. He's probably making not quite as much, but he's still making millions. He's got commercial deals. He's got college game day
to work like 2 days a week.
Yeah. Well, and the issue is I don't think he's going to come back because the game is not going to change. He's still got to deal with NIL. I think that's, I don't know. I mean, some people have said that's the issue where LSU is at, is we did get a lot of good players out of the portal, but I don't know. Only some really seem to be worth it. I mean, it goes back to Shaq. He was talking about basketball separately, but it's like you're paying all these bums this money, but you know, you're not seeing any results on the field. And that's kind of what happened. I guess you could argue that LSU did fare well out of the portal for their 2019 season, but I mean, they put it together, and there wasn't near as much money tossed around back then as there is now. I mean, we do see it with guys like Mansoor Delane, though. I mean, we do see it with guys like Bernard Gooden. So I don't know. Then it's like, it goes back to like, we have the best freshman running back in the country, probably Arlen Berry. Was tearing it up in the first half, and then he gets one touch in the second half. So I don't know. Maybe the issue isn't the talent. It's just the people making the decisions. And I guess we've got to cut the snake off at the head. But I guess it's concerning because, you know, there was one of our top recruits who was possibly the top recruit in the country was there. I mean, it was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, Lamar Brown, and he was walking off the field at the end of the game looking kind of depressed, and then the A&M fans were all crowding around him, A&M being like the other big competitor for his recruitment, and they were saying like, come to A&M. And then LSU people were tweeting him afterwards like, Lamar, like, please stay. and we didn't put a very convincing product on the field, unfortunately.
I will say encouraging in some ways. Well, maybe encouraging, maybe not. He did put out a tweet to thanking Brian Kelly for being the first coach that believed in him.
Well, there you go. And yeah, like to go back to your question though, is who do we see coming in? I don't know. I think they could do just as good going some under route, like getting a guy like Eli Drinkwitz, who just gets his players to play for him. I mean, they almost took down Vandy on the road, and I mean, who's Missouri? Like they don't have the same roster we have, at least, you know, what they've paid for. So I don't know, man. It's just, it's culture. LSU needs to get his culture back. And then I think the talents and the success will come. I don't know. Do you, like, it is a bye week. I guess maybe that's another reason why they did everything now, was to give the team some time to find its new normal for at least the remainder of the season. I don't know. I mean, I guess Ed O's just a different guy. They let him finish out his season. I guess they didn't want Kelly finishing out either, even though I think O had a worse record at the time. So
the O situation in general was bizarre. That made me really question Woodward. I don't really know what the point of that was. Like, you know, don't fire the man and then like make him work. Like, that's kind of weird. You know, have some dignity.
Well, it's because it's like, oh, is a the go-to
interim.
Yeah.
So he kind of thought he would like that.
If we fire him and he becomes the interim, maybe he'll finish out the season like 4-2, 5-5. You know, that was the thought behind that. Didn't work out that way, but I don't know. Now I firmly feel he's maybe in line. He said he wants to coach again. Just give him the D line. Let the man cook. Let him wrestle with recruits and do his thing. Just find a head coach. I don't know. It's like up and comers. You know, like if we had Kalen DeBoer, that would be something good. But I don't know. I think if Matt Campbell was going to leave Iowa State, he would have already, right? I don't know. Remember years ago it was PJ Fleck, but like he's still at Minnesota.
He's like still rowing the boat, and it hasn't really worked.
Yeah, nothing has come of it. We wanted Billy Napier, you know, before we knew about Kelly, and that didn't work out for him. So I don't know.
What if we double dipped on the Notre Dame route and went and got Marcus Freeman?
I don't hate that. I like Marcus Freeman a lot. I think, and we can maybe work on this. Maybe, you know, we'll put together like a short list or our talking to short list of who we
do your homework for the next pod.
But I mean, yeah. I would. I like the idea of, I like Marcus Freeman. I like Dan Lanning.
I'll save it for the pot.
I don't think there'd be any interest as far as on the other side, but I like them just in general. I like them as coaches. I think they're good coaches. I think Kiffin makes the most sense right now.
Yeah. I mean, he seems, back to what I had said earlier, kind of both the cultural and the tactical fit for LSU. And that would be a big plus if things would pan out. The question is your comment about the expectations and the fans at LSU, because I think the Ole Miss, like they want to win, but if they don't win a national championship, they're not going to be throwing stuff on the field necessarily. That's just kind of the way they are in their historical success. LSU is a bit of a step up in that regard. But I think you may say that LSU has some fair weather fans, and that might be true, but, and we kind of tear people down sometimes when we lose, but we also build people up when they win. I mean, 2019, Ed Orgeron was like the most beloved man in Louisiana. And Les Miles, when he was on his kind of hive a few years there, like people were making t-shirts of him eating grass. And
we rode for Les Miles for years. It really didn't get bad. Like, people didn't start disliking Les Miles until really the year he was like, maybe the end of the 2015 season and the year he was fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And things went bad for both of those coaches towards the end of their times at LSU, but like Brian Kelly never got to that level of success where we're hoisting him on our shoulders and carrying him out the stadium. Unfortunately, there probably won't be any statues erected there.
No, you're not going to see him jogging around Baton Rouge with his shirt off either. Like head coach Ed O would, but I don't know. We will talk about it next week, I'm sure. I mean, Tigers have a bye. Then we go to Alabama. Just just doesn't get any easier.
Frank Wilson legacy game incoming.
Yeah. What? I don't know. We only need one more. As long as we have one more, we'll go to a bowl, right? Two possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we got two in us.
Okay. Now here's something. People have talked about Frank Wilson. They've said, man, he is LSU. He bleeds purple and gold. Like, is he Ed O version 2.0? What if he becomes the interim? And then he puts together that, you know, you've heard the story about Edwards drawing, put together the binder and he took it to Joe and Leva and said, I'm going to be your guy. What if Frank Wilson doesn't, you know, he'll do it for a discount too. So maybe
he's been a head coach. He turned around, UTSA. San Antonio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got them to their first bowl win or their first bowl.
And he had a guy who was an LSU product, a running back, right? Remember yeah, that?
That sounds familiar.
He had somebody who was like a highly touted LSU running back who just didn't pan out here and moved over there. Yeah. I think that, and again, I mean, we're kind of, you know, there's so much to dissect, but one other thing to keep in mind, and I've been thinking about it this today, pretty much since last night. The game has changed so much. LSU was built on, you know, through the Saban to then Les Miles to then Ed Orgeron, up until really the NIL plus transfer portal. LSU was built on how much like homegrown talent we had. And now with the way that NIL is, it doesn't matter. Like, these guys are not, they're not coming to LSU just because they want to wear the purple and gold and play in Tiger Stadium. No. They're, you know, in some ways we've benefited from it. So like we pulled Harold Perkins from A&M, but you know, there are guys, we always used to lose guys to Bama or something like that. Like Nick Saban would come in and pick out, you know, from New Orleans or pick out guys from where me and Daniel were from, pick out from Monroe. But it feels like the recruiting is like, that's not our competitive advantage anymore. We're not able to just say we're going to build a team of Louisiana guys and dominate you. And then we'll go and pick our spots and get elite players from around the country to fill out our roster. You think about like a Patrick Peterson who came from Florida, but he was surrounded by talent from all over the state, really. I think that's something to keep in mind. The one thing that, you know, the Kiffin has been a person, Kiffin has been maybe the top coach as far as building a team through the portal and through NIL and, you know, using the new tools very well. I think that's an attractive part of him. And maybe that's the way you have to do it now, because clearly, like, I don't know if we're going to be able to go back to the old way of like, man, we're building out this class and we got guys from New Orleans, Destrehan, Lafayette, Baton Rouge and Monroe and Ruston and Shreveport. And then they all come together and they're all dogs and they all want to play for LSU no matter what. And they'll do it for free. Like, I think that Bama's going to come in there and say, here's a million. And then Texas will come in and say, here's 800,000. And then, you know, Ohio State comes in and says, well, here's 1.2. And then that guy goes to Ohio State, even though he's never even been to Columbus, Ohio.
Right. Yeah. Landscape is different now. But I imagine whoever's coming in is going to be well aware of all that. But I don't know. That's one thing you can give Kelly credit for, I guess, is, you know, he did get a lot of guys to come back to replenish the roster that was depleted. I don't know. Maybe that was just like a trend for a moment, but I mean, it was okay. There's a lot of talented players, like you said, that do end up leaving LSU or leaving Louisiana, maybe because they're lured elsewhere or because LSU didn't see the value in them yet, but then somehow they developed pretty quickly. And then now they're, well, we'll take him as a transfer. Yeah. This guy's great.
Mm-hmm. That'll be another wrinkle to watch in this is like with Kelly leaving, do the players follow? Like how many hit that transfer portal the moment it opens? And leaves LSU's breadbasket pretty empty. I would say the situation right now for whoever comes in next is probably better than the situation that Kelly inherited once O left, because we were down to, what, like 38 scholarship players or something. This doesn't seem as dire, but let's hope that what talent that we do have doesn't say, I've had enough of the LSU experience and move on from here.
I'm very concerned about DJ Pickett. I'm very concerned about, well, really, that's the main player I'm concerned about leaving. Harlan Berry is another one. I'm concerned about those two. The others, I mean, it is what it is. But the problem is, or it's not, I don't know if it's a problem, but the reality is this team was built for this year. Most of the talent that we have is going to, would be gone regardless. Like, they're either going to the NFL, they're out of eligibility. They're not, like, I don't think we don't have a terribly young, talented team that's going to hit the portal. And we're not going to lose some guy like, you know, like Caleb Downs, who left Bama when Saban retired.
Well, I don't know. How do you see we finish the year, though? I guess we can talk about that next week too, but do we have enough to, like I said, get at least two more wins this year and then see what happens in a bowl game?
Yeah, I mean, if we win Arkansas and Western Kentucky and finish 8-4, it's not like, that would be 7-5, excuse me, and lose the rest. 7-5, it's not like the sky is absolutely falling. LSU is still an attractive position for whichever coach we can bring in and hopefully have something to build off next year or the year after, however long it takes. I mean, we've already won 5 games, so the expectations are low now, at least. It's not like we think we're about to storm into Bama in Tuscaloosa and take them down, so we can take the pressure off a little bit.
Yeah, but if they don't expect anything, I mean, they probably weren't expecting much from us to begin with, but now without a coach, yeah, who knows, maybe they're overlooking us, but these Tigers are just pissed or just re-energized after all this, especially with a week off to rest for some of us. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, they've looked good at times, even on the road, you know, against Ole Miss. I wouldn't say we necessarily did against Vanderbilt, except for that first drive. But, I mean, we were looking really good against A&M for the first half. I mean, if Brian Kelly was still the coach, I'm sure he would be working on it this week, because he would just have to coach better. But I guess he's not going to have that opportunity to coach better, which we've heard every week. That was a little subtle humor, if y'all missed it. Anyway, yeah, I guess it's moving forward now. I don't know. I imagine we'll see a lot of other stuff come about this week, and we can talk about it next Sunday.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I mean, it's gonna be a brave new world in the LSU football. It's never a dull moment, and you know, we'll be here to figure it out with y'all.
Indeed. So until then, Tiger fans, hope you all have a great week. And yeah, it'll be a little bittersweet, but hopefully, you know, greener pastures to come, at least next season, will definitely keep you in tune with any names that surface or any other changes that happen. So until then, hope everyone has a great week. Happy Halloween for those of you in trick-or-treat or trunk-or-treat or, you know, adult parties where people dress up, whatever the case may be. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Takes.